time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt with us. Talk about a book that we've mentioned a couple of times. Our friend Ron Smith, who's been on with us at least two times in the past, but this is a very, very good book about the whole Penn State scandal, but one that looks at both sides and finds, I'm safe to say, all kinds of fault to go around.
Yeah, this is a very complex book. I mean, I realize out in Radio Land you can't see this, but I probably have two dozen yellow stickers stuck to various pages. It's 145 pages of text and 142 pages of notes. Wow. This is incredibly meticulously researched. Smith is professor emeritus of sports history at Penn State. He's, as we talked about his former book, Wounded Lions. So we're going to take 2 weeks to talk about this because you need to divide this into two parts. And what I'm going to try and do, I had a great professor in grad school, Joan Connor, who was excellent at taking very complex things and distilling them down. This is not because I'm trying to insult the intelligence of anyone listening, but to tell them that for me to explain this, it's really difficult. You have to separate two things: the Jerry Sandusky criminal investigation, charges, and sentencing. And then the NCAA's response. And in the middle of that lies the Free Report, which is probably the most, I would say arguably the most contentious aspect of this and probably the most flawed. We need to remember that this former FBI director also tried to send Richard Jewell to prison for the Atlanta Olympic bombing, which he didn't do. Professor Wu out at Los Alamos to prison for being a spy, which he was not. And, you know, what he did with the Branch Davidians didn't end real well either. So there's a lot. There are those three things sort of playing. But what I want to talk about today is the famous consent decree from Penn State, how it came about, and how dishonest Mark Emmert and Ed Ray from the NCAA were. And I say this as someone who is, as a athletic sports representative, a liaison at the University of Maine, someone who has to acquaint himself with NCAA rules and bylaws and make sure that he doesn't violate them. Penn State was threatened after Jerry Sandusky was indicted by a grand jury and then convicted with, quote, the death penalty, which the NCAA cannot mete out to an institution according to its bylaws unless they are multiple offenders. Adolph Rupp at Kentucky got the death penalty. It took him about a year to get going again. And SMU did in their football program back in the 70s when Craig James and Eric Dickerson were there. Players were getting paid, and they had multiple violations. They lost football for a year. What happened at Penn State is that there was a change in the administration, and Mark Emmert, who was the head of the NCAA, wrote a letter, which he was not legally supposed to do or had ever been done before, threatening Penn State and saying that anything that was found out in the criminal investigation of Jerry Sandusky would and could be used against Penn State in an NCAA investigation. The NCAA is not a law enforcement organization. So as Ron Smith lays this out, and his timeline is incredible, the book is so well done. In 1998, it was alleged that Jerry Sandusky acted inappropriately by showering with a young boy. A psychologist by the name of Alicia Chambers, who should be just held up with so much wonderful respect, said this is the behavior of a pedophile. No one in law enforcement, no one at the university, nobody took her seriously enough, and law enforcement and the prosecutor's offices said they had no reason to believe that to be true, that they did not have evidence. Okay. Now, back in 1998, the reporting rules were different than they are now. Now, as Rich knows as a teacher, and I know that if we are told by anyone in our school community that they have been assaulted or have been in some way harassed or intimidated or touched inappropriately, we report that. We do not report that to our department head. We don't report that to our principal. We report it to law enforcement, and law enforcement is supposed to take over. And you are not supposed to try to investigate on your own. You're not supposed to confront the alleged accuser. You're not supposed to tell the alleged victim that everything will be fine. Don't worry about it. We're going to help you out. You're to leave it to law enforcement as a legal matter. That was not the protocol back in 1998 or again when these things came up with Sandusky, and Coach Paterno did what he was supposed to do and reported it to his superior. The fact that Penn State didn't investigate further is shameful. There's no doubt about that. And Smith, who's a Penn State guy, would say that. But what we need to remember is that the consent decree was eventually overturned, and almost all of the NCAA's attempt to destroy Penn State's, quote, culture of football was a result of the trustees being afraid that if they didn't agree, something worse would happen, though they didn't clearly understand this. In fact, you know who else didn't understand it? Ed Ray from Oregon State University, who was one of the leading people on the Infractions and Enforcement Committee. He did not read the free report. He did not even know that the bylaws of the NCAA did not allow for this penalty. And he clearly admitted that there were other things that he did not even read that were associated with this. The same can be said for members of the Penn State administration who just said, okay, we got $60 million, we'll get out of this. We need to move forward. We need to put it behind us. Now, eventually the Paterno family sues, and eventually a state representative from Pennsylvania named Corman sues, and in Corman's case, the NCAA loses on basically everything. Sue Paterno eventually dropped the case. Some people think the reason was if the case against the NCAA proceeded, there would be a chance that they could open any other investigation they wanted. Now, Penn State had never been accused of a major violation in its football program. However, we do have the problem with Renee Portland, the former basketball coach who was dismissed, and we've talked to other people about this in this segment, for discriminating against lesbians and making comments against them. She, of course, was hired by Joe Paterno, who was the athletic director and who also took athletics into the financial department and out of an academic unit. So there was thought that other things might happen there. But people need to understand that Penn State was not punished because of anything Jerry Sandusky did, but because he was a professor emeritus and was on their campus, and the prosecution in the case felt that Penn State did not do its due diligence in reacting to rumors and statements about Sandusky. That is a criminal matter, and that is wholly different from the NCAA. So we want to get that sort of in perspective. So next week, I can talk a little bit about more about how it rolled along.
All right, that sounds good. The book is called Nailed to the Crossbar by Ronald A. Smith, and next week we'll look at the second half of the discussion of the book. Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, and then we'll hopefully have Ron the week after that.
That sounds great.